Well, today is day one of the Doan three-man camp here in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area, specifically Caledonia, Michigan, Davenport University. Got quite a few campers for this camp, 41 to be exact, and guys from, of course, Michigan, not surprisingly, but also several other states like Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, you know, so guys from all over the Midwest area coming to the three-man camp. They have quite a few things planned for them. Obviously, there's going to be a collegiate showcase, more like JUCO teams and some NAIA teams that are going to be playing. So guys are going to be able to get some actual experience on the field and get some direct instruction there. But also, they'll have lots of cage and field work and some classroom work, talking about three-man and other aspects of umpiring as well. So I'm going to have a few mini podcasts episodes here over the next couple of days. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the camp. So I'll have one for day one, day two, day three, and I'll let you know about the happenings of the camp. And I'm most interested to see how the new strike zone technology that we introduced at the Doan two-man camp a couple of weeks ago plays out here in the three-man camp. So this is the first of these little mini episodes, and expect them over the next couple of days. So day one of the Doan three-man umpire camp was a success. It's kind of a half day. It starts about 12:30. There's two games that go on with JUCO teams, and they move umpires in and out and three-man crews there. They also have some sessions like down in the bullpen, talking about situations and things like that. And then to end the day, they usually have a guest speaker, and it was Rich Fetchett, one of the big D1 coordinators here in the Midwest. He talked quite a bit for about an hour to the 41 campers that are here. And one of the things he really talked about was, you know, game management, managing situations, managing yourself on the field, but also off the field, you know, your personal life, balancing your life, among other things. I mean, he wasn't sitting there necessarily talking about, you know, mechanics or strikes and in balls and, you know, saves and outs and all that kind of stuff. That was more important. And we kind of saw a little bit of that on the field in the couple of games there. I came a little bit later after I got done teaching and was there for the second game and helping out with the umpires on the field. You know, a couple things that I saw, you know, we had some of the newer umpires that maybe hadn't worked as much three-man, so their alignment, like when you're at third base and trying to make sure that you're far enough back of the third baseman, so if he makes a diving play toward the line, he's not going to dive into you, but also that you're close enough that there's a back pick or something there at third base with a runner on third that you can get there. How you know, handle fly balls. Fly balls are always the tricky thing for people, not pausing, reading, reacting, and going out when they shouldn't or not going out when they should. That's always an issue. Coming across, you know, like when you're U3 and putting your hand up for your U1 to let them know you got that routine fly ball and that you also are obviously running the second base and you've got that, you know, positioning on how you come into second base. If you do have a potential play, if you're coming inside or outside, usually it's frequently outside, but you know, those kind of situations too. Just a general alignment where you're parallel to like the third baseline when you're U3 and you're in deep B position, those kind of situations. We had a couple of situations where like we had a runner on first only in a wild pitch, and you know, the runner went to second base and U1 just kind of stayed there at first base and he didn't kind of fill up to second base so that U3 could potentially move to third base and potentially get outside if he needed to. So we had that we talked to some guys about. We had a situation where U1 was kind of in his regular spot with a runner on first base and just took like a step back and, you know, then started to go out a couple steps almost to the grass. And, you know, the plate umpire, you know, that's basically, now we're in two-man. He needed to go to third base or start moving toward third base in case he needed to cover that, because we got, you know, U3 in the middle there jumping around like a chicken or something because he's got to cover all three bases. So just those kind of situations, and we help guys hopefully recognize those and do a better job on it the next time they might have such a situation. But the most interesting thing that we had was one of the JUCO teams. It's a Michigan-based team, and they're a very successful team. They were kind of doing some orchestrated chants, you know, particularly at the time of the, you know, the pitch, directed at the other team, directed at the pitcher, which, you know, is against NCAA policy and sportsmanship, and you're supposed to, you know, stamp that stuff out and issue a warning or if needed, an ejection. So we had that situation, which, you know, they weren't really being very sportsmanlike. I don't understand it. But anyway, it's always good when stuff like that happens in a camp because you can see how people react. And this is the opportunity. And again, like back to what Rich Fetchett was talking about later on, it's about game management. You know, you got to be able to control the people that are on that ball field the best that you can and get them to abide by the rules and respect your judgment and your authority while you're out there. And if you can't do that, then it's hard for you to move up, whatever level you're at. You know, if you're a high school guy wanting to move to, you know, do JUCO ball, it's going to be hard for you to move up. If you're somebody that does, you know, sub-varsity baseball and you want to move up to more varsity games, that's what you got to be able to do as well. So anyway, they were doing that. I kind of went and talked to the one plate umpire afterward. I said, hey, did you think that was, you know, orchestrated? Well, yeah, I didn't think it was unsportsmanlike. I'm like, well, do you want the other team doing that? Well, no. Well, you got to stop that. You can't let them be doing that. I mean, you got to tell them that that's enough and issue a warning if you need to. So anyway, kind of continued on the next inning. He didn't really take care of it. Neither did his two, you know, umpires in the, you know, on the bases there either. Then the crew kind of switched over because, you know, we do like an inning or whatever for each guy. So we had three new guys come out there. They're sitting there in their tunnel watching that. And, you know, they continue doing the same thing. And then we get the first base umpire decides he's going to do something. So he goes over there, issues a warning. He walks over. He's actually in deep B, so he walks over, you know, almost to the first base cutout, and he says, this is a warning. We cannot have orchestrated chants. Continue to do so. I'll have no choice but to eject you. He kind of gives the standard kind of thing, which is fine, whatever. And then he turns and starts walking back to deep B. And this first base coach for this team, who's down, you know, by the dugout, not by first base, goes up and down the bench, you know, the fence line of where the dugout is, raising his hands up in the air and, you know, getting them all riled up again. And he didn't see this. He turned, the umpire that gave the warning. I mean, it should have been an ejection. If he would have seen it, I would have hoped he would have ejected it. I really find it hard to believe that you three maybe didn't see it, and or the plate umpire. Because if I were on the field and I saw that, I would have ejected the guy. I mean, you know, because he's making our crew look like, you know, clowns out there or something. So the inning ends. They, you know, the plate umpire kind of says something to him. They calm down a little bit. They just kind of do stuff in whispers. They're still kind of doing it. We go out and talk to the guys afterward. I'm talking to the plate umpire, and I'm like, did you see that? Oh, no, I didn't. You know, he's like, there's no way. He saw it, and he didn't do it. I'm like, why didn't you eject him? He said, well, I didn't really see it. I don't know about that. But anyway, so it wasn't really handled as well as it could. I mean, okay, it wasn't like there's some riot that happened or nobody got plunked or this or that, but it's stuff that you got to stamp out in a ball game. And if you can't handle that at whatever level you're going to, then you're not really going to go to that level. You're not really going to go any farther. Those are the things that get you places. People always think, I've got to go show that I really know this three-man mechanics. Well, yeah, that's important. I'm not saying that you know, if you don't know your mechanics, you're going to have problems. But yeah, you want to show that. You want to show that you've got, you know, good strike zone, that you look good out there and everything. But when stuff happens, you got to be able to take care of it. And that's what separates umpires more than anything at every single level all over the country. So that is my big advice to any of you, is to be able to handle that and to be able to step up and do it and do what you got to do. And you want to be that guy on the field that people want to be with because they know you take care of business.